Say, this is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm at Deliverance Temple,
where we love by living our vision every day.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
And we communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Pastor Andre,
preach this word.
Amen. I'm going to give a little time. I see that my live hasn't started, and I see my little live operator running this way and running back. So I know something is happening or going on, but they'll probably catch up with me. And the live audience is important because a lot of people have been able to connect. And just tell me what you need. Go ahead and do it. And I don't remember it either. Just do a regular. Don't go live. Just do a regular thing, and then we'll fix it later. All right. That is something. So when you see my kids back there, they're not just goofing off. He's actually working. So we'll upload the live for him later. So let's move on. Last time that I preached and we had power, there was a message called Waiting to Exhale. And waiting, so we changed it. It was Waiting to Excel. And we talked about the spirit of excellence. And so we prepared a message for last Sunday and got here, and all the power was out. And so the Lord just dropped something in my spirit, and I changed what I was going to do. And we talked about this. We talked about, will you be ready? And I just want to give just a little bit to that. I just been thinking about all the death that's been happening. When you're a pastor, death affects you different, because anytime somebody dies in the community, you always get a call. People always, sometimes they want to know, do they want to use your building? But you always know who's dying. And it can take its mental toll on you because you're trying to help people. And left and right, folk are dying. And you're always wondering, are you doing everything you can do to help and win people to the Lord? And so this is just dropped in my spirit just last Sunday, and I wanted to ask the people, will you be ready? Will you be ready for whatever Jesus is doing? Will you be ready, or are you going through the motions? And so we talked to that, and then we came to the conclusion that I'm gonna be ready. In other words, I'm not gonna let anything stop me for being ready for Christ, his kingdom, his return, to be a disciple for him. I'm gonna be ready. That's why we confess our deliverance consistently. I don't want to get caught in nothing and not be ready. God, help me, wash me, clean me, because when you come, I want to go on the first trip. Amen. All right, so moving on from that, let's look at Proverbs 20:6.
Most men will proclaim every one of his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?
So I'm switching veins a little bit, and I was actually laying in the bed a week or so ago, and I heard one word. And when I heard one word, the first thing that came to my mind was this scripture. Read it again.
Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?
Most people will tell you how good they are, how committed they are, how faithful they are. But it's one thing to have words. It's another thing to have actions. And so I want to break it down in a couple other versions to kind of to show you where we're going. So let's look at the CSB, which is a Christian Standard Bible. This is a Bible that came out in 2017. It's one of the most modern translations we have. Read.
Many a person proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy person?
If you let somebody tell you, they will tell you, I'm loyal. I'm down with you. I'll go with you all the way. Many a man proclaim their own loyalty, but a real trustworthy person, the scripture says, who can find?
which means it's not as prevalent as people act like it is. People will walk around with a shirt that says, I'm ride or die, but get in a real situation with them and you'll find out everybody's not what they talk. Let's go to one more version. This is the Good News Translation. This is this translation is the upgraded version of the Living Bible. Back in the day, we had something called the Living Bible, but the Living Bible was a paraphrase. But the Good News Translation is the upgrade from that, and it's more of a translation than a paraphrase. Read.
Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is.
Now look at this just plain, practical talk. Everybody talks about how loyal and faithful they are. But someone who really is what they say that they are, it's real hard to find. Now, I can understand this as we were talking about worldly people. But even when it comes to the house of God and the people of God and the church, not everybody is what they say they are. We have got in a mode of projection, and especially with social media, we put our best face forward, but some of us have lied so long, we lie to our own selves. We believe we're something we're not. I'm loyal, man. You can't find nobody better than me. You can't find a better friend than me. You can't find a better trustworthy person than me. But as Mother Woods used to say, when the rubber meets the road. And so the question that I have to you is, are you what you say you are? If I, as pastor, begin to look for somebody that I can trust, all the hands go up. I need somebody. This is an important task, and I need somebody to be with me. Yeah, pastor, I'm going to do it. You can count on me. I can count on you for the first month, the second month, third month, maybe even the fourth month. But when it begins to be hard and tiresome and trying, things change. People change. When you're a business owner and you first give somebody a job, they're so happy that you gave them a job and gave them an opportunity. But the second month in, it's a different spirit because we have a mentality to take for granted that which we have in front of us. So what today's message simply is this, it's the lowdown on loyalty. We're going to get to the lowdown on loyalty. So this is the word that dropped in my spirit. It was just simply this. I heard loyalty. While I was sleeping in my bed, I heard loyalty. Loyalty. Who can find a real loyal person? If you are past 50 and you have more than two loyal people in your life that is not your blood relation, you are a lucky person. Because most of us, the older we get, the smaller our circle becomes. Because everybody that said they were with you, you find out they're not with you. People have different motives and different agendas. And the question is, do you know the lowdown on loyalty? Do you know when you look in the mirror yourself that somebody can depend and count on me? One of the reasons why we have so many women doing so many things is because they've met a lot of men with britches, but they haven't found very many loyal men. They've had men that will walk down the aisle with them and promise the world, but once they get into real life, they do all kinds of things, all kinds of low-down things. We need loyal people, and if you can find loyalty anywhere, you ought to be able to find it in the church. So first, let's do this. Let's have loyalty defined. Let's get on a common ground of what we're talking about. Loyal. Start with the word because loyalty is from the word loyal. Mean giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance to a person or institution. Let me stop real quick, and I got to jump on millennials for a second. I love millennials and even the group after them. But one of the things that they are marked by is they don't like institutions. So they don't like the church But it's not just the church that don't. They don't like the church. They don't like the government. They don't like any institution. They are a little leery of all institutions. And it's not all wrong, because many of those institutions have failed them. But the problem with some of the millennials is they don't offer no solution. So this is what they tell you. I don't like Hillary. I don't like Trump. So I ain't voting. Okay, if you're not going to vote, what are you going to do? Well, I ain't doing nothing. Well, you're not adding anything to the conversation. And so we have to train them on how to be loyal and how to do something bigger than them. But the problem is they're looking ahead at the baby boomers and Generation X. They're looking at us. And if we don't show loyalty, they won't know how to be loyal. And then the generation after them and the one after them is going to be an absolute total mess. And so we've got to kind of adjust it. First of all, we've got to be good examples. And one thing I've learned as pastoring some of the millennials, I love them, but follow through is not their strongest suit. So we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have Deliverance Temple Instagram, Deliverance Temple Twitter, Deliverance Temple Facebook. So I've had them tell me, ooh, I love Instagram and Twitter. Let me be the one who will post for Deliverance Temple. Let me be the one who will do this and do that. But after a while, I have to remind them, when's the last time you posted? Oh, I didn't know you still wanted that. Well, you told me that's what you wanted to do. So when I put it in your hands, and it's not because they're bad or wrong people, it's just that they don't know the importance of following through on their commitments. Why? I don't know. It could be because daddy walked out on them a long time ago. It could be because mama had different men running in and out of their house. And so sometimes they've had a bad example, but the church has to show people how to be loyal and committed, because how can I be loyal to a God that I can't see? And I can't be loyal to people that I can see. Amen. All right, so let's read some more. These are some, what you would call synonyms of the word loyal. Mother Mitchell, read them for me.
Constant, true, devoted, unswerving, unwavering, steadfast, dedicated.
Ooh, dedicated. Do they even use that word anymore in today's age? Dedicated.
Committed.
Ooh, committed.
Faithful, trustworthy, dependable.
I'm sure we don't use that word dependable anymore.
Reliable.
And reliable. How many people do you know that are loyal in the true sense of the word, that are dependable, reliable, committed, dedicated, unwavering? Whew. I know that it's tight, but it's right. But I'm not talking to y'all. We're talking about the people out there, because y'all got it all together. So we're going to go to this. Listen for loyalty. So oftentimes you can listen for loyalty, because some people will say one thing and do something else. And before you trust them, you can listen to them and you can find out and locate where they really are. So we're going to go back to the Good News Translation, Proverbs 26. Read that.
Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is.
So we already read that, and we're just painting this picture again. But oftentimes in Proverbs are snippets of wisdom, and so they don't read like a story. In other words, every verse doesn't pile upon each other. They're just different nuggets here and there. But oftentimes in Proverbs, if you pay attention, sometimes verses are paired together. So when you read one verse, sometimes you have to look at the verse ahead of it to see if there's any connection. Sometimes in Proverbs, there is no connection at all. But oftentimes, the snippets are in more than one verse. So we're going to back up to Proverbs 20 and 5 and read that.
The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out.
This is powerful. And so whenever I read this scripture, I didn't understand it. But when I paired it with the other context, it made more sense. And this is what it means. The real motives of a person's heart is like deep waters. But it takes somebody of insight to draw it out. And so you can't always tell somebody's motive right away. You have to listen for loyalty. You have to watch
for loyalty. You have to sometimes be silent. Let me talk to you women for a second. When you go on a date, don't do all the talking. Sometimes shut up and listen. Because when you listen, you'll find out he's no good and won't even give him a second date. But you do too much time talking. But the purpose of a person's heart is like deep waters. It takes a while for you to see the real intent of the heart. But somebody who has insight can draw it out. So let me give you an example. So y'all talking and y'all decide to go Dutch. It's the first date. No problem about that. And then the man says to you, you know what? The next day I'll pay for it, but right now I'm in between jobs. Okay, sweetheart, and you just keep talking. No, 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 no. Wait and ask, what does in between jobs? You find out he's been in between jobs for 20 years. But you didn't take any time to draw out what was in his heart. So when a person tells you how loyal they are, you have to listen. And use insight and draw out what is in their heart. I'm going to give you an example. As a pastor, people run to me and for money, for different things, different variation of things. My water is getting cut off tomorrow. Can you help me? And back in the day, we would just help. But the question is, if your water's being cut off tomorrow, why are you just now telling me today? How long has your water been in this situation? How many times have you been to the trustees? You got to take time and talk to people to find out the intent of their heart. And sometimes they don't mean any good. All right, let me keep going because I know this ain't really a shout me kind of message. All right, let's put this up here. Loyalty can be heard in words, but it's best discovered by actions. So you can listen for loyalty and you can hear words, but don't be so saved that you don't watch people. Don't be so saved that you don't be like Inspector Gadget and inspect things. I'm not saying you have to be so scared of everybody. I mean, be loving, be trusting, but be watching. The Bible said of the men of Gideon, when they found the water, they lapped up the water, but they looked too. I'm not so concerned about the water that I'm not looking. We are in a war. We are in a battle. I know you can speak tongues with the best of them, but I'm looking. I'm watching. Every time I see you in the mall, I don't run over and say, hey, how you doing, sister from Deliverance Temple? Sometimes I sit back and watch because I want to know, how do you act when you think nobody is around? I want to know how you really act, because the Lord, he can be best seen by what people do on a consistent basis. So we got to watch, and this will help you. It'll help you in your business dealings. It'll help you with relationships. It'll help you with stuff, because people can lie. And people can lie real good. People can lie real good. How do you know, Pastor? Because I was one of those real good liars. I know what I'm talking about. Do you know there are men who have hidden whole other families? And don't nobody know until he die, and all these people showing up at the funeral. Folk can lie. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't be so prayerful that you're not watching. Look around. Watch, and it'll help you. All right, let's go to Ruth 1:6.
When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there.
So we're going
to
transition. We're going to talk about Ruth, probably one of the most loyal people you could find. And so we just want to take a little time and study a passage from Ruth. And if you know anything about the backstory, we know that her mother-in-law, Naomi, had two sons and a husband. The husband and the sons die. So now it's just Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. One was named Ruth, and we'll read the other one's name in just a few minutes. We'll read verse 7.
With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah.
So she was in Moab, and she's going back home, back to the land of Judah, back to the land of praise. Verse 8.
Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me."
Said, this is a time for a separation. I'm going back home. There's nothing left for me here. And it's okay for y'all to go back where y'all came from. Verse 9.
May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud.
So you lost this husband. I hope you have another chance. I gotta go. I'm too old for another husband. You have more life to live. Let's separate and go our separates. I'm praying for you. Sometimes every separation is not a bad separation. I can pray for you. You can pray for me, and we can go our separate ways. Well, Pastor, do you believe in divorce? Well, I don't know what to believe. I believe in God. And if you're in something that's tearing you all the way down, sometimes y'all both need to just walk away and pray for each other and try something somewhere else. So every separation is not a bad thing. So she was trying to let them know, you go and do your thing. I'm going to do my thing. We've been through a lot. So it's okay for us to go our separate ways. Let's look at verse 10.
And said to her, "We will go back with you to your people."
All right. Verse 11.
But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me?"
I'm going to stop right there. So the girls, after they cried, they finally said, "You know what? We'll go home with you. We've built a family and a connection. We'll go home with you." And Naomi was like, let me kind of speak some sense into you. Now read 111, the whole thing again.
But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands?"
Think about this. Think about what you're saying. I know you say you want to go with me, but think about this. The sons that I had for you that you married into the family, they're gone. I'm old. Am I going to have any more sons? If you come with me, you're going to be alone. Verse 12.
"Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons."
Verse 13.
"Would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me."
Now, I know Naomi was going through a lot, but I love the honesty of Naomi. I love how she was painting the picture. What I don't like is when I connect myself to someone and they sell me one thing and it's going to be something totally different. I like how Naomi was honest and said, "Listen, if you follow me, and let's say by miracle I get married tonight, are you still going to wait for me to have kids and wait for my kids to grow up for you to marry them? Think about what you're saying when you say you want to be with me." Now, let me pause and just jump on a little rabbit trail. Because of the ministry that I'm in, when people talk about they want to be connected to me and they want me to be their spiritual father, I don't start telling them about all the positive stuff. I tell them about all the hell I've been through, because I want to know, do you really want this? Because it may look like something that it's not. Do you really want this? And I say that to some of y'all when you say, "I want to step up in ministry." I thank God for everybody who wants to step up in ministry and feels like they're called. But let me ask you, do you really want this? Make sure that you're not looking at something more with rose-colored glasses, because this ain't what everybody think it is. This ain't that. This is not what
you have been made to believe. I don't want to be a preacher because preachers drive Cadillacs. Please don't buy into the lie because there's a whole lot more that goes into this. And it is not pleasant. And partly because the first person that gets worked on is you. You don't get to help nobody else until God gets done helping you. And the way God chooses to help you is not the way you would choose for yourself. The stuff that God asks you to walk through is not the way you would choose. You would want to do something different. So is this really what you want? So that's what Ruth was saying. I mean, Naomi was saying to Ruth and to the other daughter, Orpah. That's what she was saying. Let's look at verse 14.
At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her.
Orpah listened to what she was saying and thought it through and said, this is not for me. But she still loved her, kissed her, and said goodbye. It's okay if you look at the path that I'm going down and say, I can't do that, and you walk away. I'd rather you walk away than you to carry me down. And so Orpah just said, I can't do this. But there's something about Ruth. The Bible says Ruth clung to her. Even after hearing what it's going to look like. In other words, I want to know what is worst case scenario. Once I found out worst case scenario, Ruth said, it's something about it I still want. Because it's not the journey I want, it's you I want, Naomi. All right, so put this up. Loyalty is not always comfortable. Because in order to be loyal, sometimes you have to see the full picture, and the full picture is not pretty. Let's go to Ruth 1 and 15.
Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.
Now, I don't know if this was just a figure of speech or if Orpah just took off and started leaving right away. I'm not sure, but she said, look, your sister-in-law is going back. How about you go back to this is not what you really want. All right. Now, remember this. Loyalty is a choice. Taking my time and just working through. I'm just going to teach you a little bit this morning. Ruth 1:16, read.
But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God.
This is extreme loyalty on Ruth's part. She knows the full ramifications of what it means to be partnered up with Naomi. She understands how hard it has already been. And Naomi said something that I didn't touch on. She said, God's hand has been turned against me. I'm not in a season of blessing. I'm in another season, and it's not easy. And Ruth said, I want your God to be my God. This is a God that is not moving the way Naomi wants him to move. And Ruth said, I'll still choose you and your God. Because it's not so much about the material things and about the pleasantries of life. I have found a connection with you, and I'm loyal to you even when it's uncomfortable. I choose you. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to and what this will mean for you, but somebody's going to have a choice that's not going to look easy, and you're going to have to choose loyalty. Let me go back to divorce for a second. So you said you don't know what to believe. So why have you and Devin made it so long? Because we made a choice. And a lot of people don't know it, but and it's only happened once in our marriage. But we had a time where we were separated. We were separated for an amount of time. And separated means she was in somebody else's house, not in my house. We were separated. We weren't vibing. We weren't working out. So when you see us and you say happy anniversary, it ain't always been happy. But the reason why she came back to the house is she made a choice. And so let me throw this out there to people who are struggling with a marriage and struggling with things. Sometimes you got to make a
choice. And you got to say, for the good of what we've built together, I'm coming back and I'm making a choice. And the other person has to make a choice. And sometimes you got to start all over again and choose loyalty. I don't want to be a preacher that'll make somebody stay in something that is totally killing them and robbing them of their joy. I don't want to be a fool and say you got to stay in that. But sometimes you got to look at the big picture and say, maybe I need to make a choice. And sometimes when folk come and make a choice, things can be moving in the right direction. But I like what else that she said. She said, don't urge me to leave you. Let's not even have this conversation anymore. I want you to know I am with you. So when a better preacher, better pastor with a bigger church and more opportunity comes in my neighborhood, I'm still going to the church that I pledge my loyalty to. I may love the other church and like what they're doing, but my heart is knitted with you and the call on your life. So don't ask me to leave. Don't ask me to go back, because where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people gonna be my people, because at the end of the day, I am loyal by choice. If people are staying with you only based on what you can do for them, like the prodigal son, he had friends till the money ran out. But you'll find somebody, and you'll be lucky if you find them, that when the money's gone, when the fun's gone, they are still there for you. Some people say, you can call me anytime. Anytime don't mean anytime to everybody. Some people, anytime means anytime before 9 o'clock, because I'm asleep. I got to go to work. But there are some friendships that are anytime friendships, 2 o'clock in the morning. If you need somebody to talk to you, even though I'm tired, I'll get up and talk to you because I'm loyal to you. And we're bonded and we're knitted together. Let's look at verse 17.
Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried.
She's not even looking about the accoutrements of life. She's saying, okay, I see things have turned on you, Naomi, and you may not live long, but where you die, that's where I'm going to die. Where you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried, because I am loyal to you.
May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me.
If even death separates. In other words, it's not just the living relationship, but even if you die and go on, it's not going to separate me from you.
Now, let me talk to you about this. I said something about death earlier in the message and talking about how many people are dying. And one thing that is hard for me as a pastor, and as we're doing funerals, I know that all the people that are at the funeral and all the people are leaving condolences and flowers, that they're not going to stay forever. Some people you won't hear from again after the repast. They're there to pay their respects, but grief doesn't stop just because the funeral ended and just because you left the gravesite. Grief will show up 5 years later in a memory, in a thought. And you need somebody that after the funeral is over and after the gravesite is over, somebody that you can call and say, listen, my mind is going crazy. I miss my daddy. I miss my mama. I miss my husband. I need somebody to cry on. I don't need somebody to say, well, wasn't that 10 years ago? No, I need somebody to understand in this season of my life, I'm hurting right now. Amen. And when you have somebody connected to you, they'll let you hurt. But they won't leave you hurting. They say, come on, we got to get up. We can't cry forever, but I'm going to cry with you when you cry. But I want to rejoice with you when you rejoice. I want some loyal people in the house of God. You ought to be able to find a faithful friend somewhere. Especially, hopefully you can find one in the church that you attend. Let's look at verse 18.
When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her.
She realized, I can't get rid of this girl. She is determined. She's not just talking determination, but she's prepared to get rid of everything, uproot her whole life to be with me and to die with me because she's loyal. I wonder, what do people say about you after you get done talking? When you get done talking, people say, don't pay attention to them. You can't hardly trust nothing they say. They just got excited, and in the moment, they said what they said. But let me, does anybody have to come behind you and fix what you say because your word is not what it is? Well, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna be the first one. And somebody comes back and say, you know what? They're probably gonna be 50 minutes late. So if I was you, I wouldn't wait. We all gonna go to Kings Island. We're gonna leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, I'm gonna drive a car. And somebody comes behind and says, hey, you need to rent another car, because the one who said they was gonna drive a car, they're not gonna be there on time. They may not even make it. So just in case, have a plan B. Are you one of those people that people have to have a plan B once words come out of your mouth? Because what you talking is just in the moment. You get excited for the moment and will say anything. One of my favorite words is maybe. People ask me, are you going to do this? It's not yes. It's not no, it's maybe. So that means I'm going to think about it. Maybe yes, maybe no, but I'm not committing to anything right now. Because when it shows up, I may not feel like coming. So I'm not going to tell you I'm going to come. I'm going to tell you maybe. You're going to come to my birthday party? Maybe. Because when your birthday party roll around, I may not feel like eating no stale cake with you. Maybe. I may not feel like it. So why get up and lie just to make you feel better? How about I be truthful? And guess what my second favorite word is? No. Now, as a leader, as a pastor, it's hard to say that. But it's starting to taste good in my mouth. No. Sometimes you just need to have an acquaintance and a relationship with the word no. So you stop selling people a bill of goods and just say no. Now, my wife had to work with me on this, because we walk through the mall and the people would be in the mall and they have the little lotion and say, come over here, let me put the lotion on your hands. So I would go over there just to make them feel good. I'm thinking, ain't nobody stopping by, but I wouldn't plan on buying anything. And Devin would say, stop going over there. I said, I'm just being nice. She said, no, you're making these people think they're going to get a sale, and you're not planning on doing anything, so just walk by them. I'm like, okay, but you know, it was hard for me to walk by, because there's something about us as a people pleaser. We want to please people, but in pleasing people, we become disloyal. Tell them the truth. No, I don't want it. I don't want your chocolate candy bar you selling. I don't want to donate nothing to Ride It Today. Do you want to give an extra dollar? No. No. And you're still saved, but you're honest. But because I'm wearing my Deliverance Temple shirt, I better give the extra dollar to Riley. But you don't want to give it, so just be honest. No. Would you like to? No. When you see, you're driving down the road and you see up by the light, there's a man with these buckets and they get ready to raise money, you just turn and take another side road. Because you don't want to face them. But it's okay to just say no. In other words, what loyalty is about, it's about being honest with your own self. And saying, I am a human being and I am limited. There's some stuff that I will do, but there's some stuff I can't do forever. Can you take me to work? Yes, I can take you to work. But in 2 months, I'm expecting you to find another way to work. In other words, don't leave it indefinitely, because this is what I found out. And this is what hurts people the most. The folk you are the most loyal to are the least loyal to you. The first folk you break your back over the most are the first ones to leave.
I've seen it in ministry. I've seen it before I took over. I've seen it as my father was in ministry. I've seen people that he helped. And I ain't seen them since I've been pastoring.
Because something else came up. I didn't understand. I seen them go to other churches where the pastor told them no and join that church. And wouldn't go to the church where the pastor always said yes. It taught me a lesson. Folk are fickle. And folk, you can't trust folk, but can God trust you? So we just got to start being honest. I'm not mad at Oprah. Oprah said, I can't do all that. I'm leaving. Ruth had something else in her. But here's the thing. She was knitted to that person. Stop being loyal to people that God hasn't knitted you to. Because you're going to end up hurt. Stop pledging your trust to people that God didn't tell you to pledge your trust to. You're going to end up hurt. You're going to end up disappointed. You ever wonder why folk aren't as good to you as you are to them? When it's their birthday, you throw the surprise party. You get everything together. You do all the stuff and you make sure they have gifts. And when it's your birthday, 3 days later, happy belated birthday. Wait a second. You're showing me something about our relationship. I thought it was this. It's not that I'm after material things, but if I'm breaking my back for you, you ought to be doing something for me if we're in relationship.
No, who was it? Maya Angelou just said it simply this way. When people show you who they are, believe them. Stop fixing up people that don't plan on being fixed up. Well, they were just depressed. They were going through something, and that's why. You know what? We have a whole bunch of members at this church, but we have a whole bunch of them that don't show up to church, but they're members. They don't give. They don't come, and they're members. And so when they needed stuff because they're members, I'd run to them. I started making up in my mind, wait a second. First, I accept you as a member, but first I'm going to help folk that I see. First. In other words, my daughter needs a shower because she had a baby. We love everybody. We're not going to dog her because she had a baby. We love her. But I want the people to give to folk that they see. When's the last time we seen your daughter? Well, I'm not saying we're not going to help, but don't be mad when we won't help to the level that we help somebody else, because I want to help the folk that we see all the time, that put money in the plate, that are here when it's hot, when it's cold, that are committed, that are loyal. Why should I break my back for people who show no loyalty to us? Amen. Well, because you're a pastor and you're saved. I didn't say we're not going to help. I didn't say we were not going to do, but don't expect us to do for them the same way we did for somebody else, because sometimes the relationship is different. And people need to understand that. So let me put this up. The loyalty, royalty connection. And so if you know anything about the story, that Ruth left with Naomi and runs into a man named Boaz. And changed her entire life. Not only did it change her entire life, it changed the whole course of history. So here's something that you need to understand. When you make a choice to be loyal, and loyal at all costs, and it brings you no reward, maybe you are loyal to the wrong thing and to the wrong person. But when you make a choice of loyalty, and you make it at all costs, and it pays off, you know you did the right thing. Me and my son were talking, and my son Dylan, he said something about school, about college. He said college is not for everyone. Everyone, and he's only 10, he's already understand college isn't for everyone. And he asked me, how many years of college did you do? And I said, about 2 years. 2 years. He said, so you didn't finish? I said, yes. Then he laughed. He said, so basically you're a college dropout. I said, I prefer to say I didn't finish. I like that better. So we're laughing and joking with each other. But I told him, I said, it wasn't because I couldn't, but I made a choice to come out and serve in the ministry.
and you see where I am now, and there are people that I went to college with that I make more money than because I made a choice of loyalty, but it was a choice that paid off. I am where I am because I made a choice. But if every time you make a leap and you fall on your face and nothing works right, stop making stupid leaps. Recalculate. Ask yourself some questions before you just jump into things. Because another thing I found out, that when people ask you to do stuff, they don't tell you the whole thing. Are you free Saturday? Yeah, I'm free. Well, I need to move. It's going to take us about an hour and a half to move. You get there, there's a 7-room house and stuff everywhere. This ain't going to be no hour and a half. It take you 15 hours to move. It's okay, you got me this time. But the next time you move, no, I'm not free. Well, all you did was sit home and sit in the chair. Well, that's what I wanted to do. I'm not free to help you because you have proven to me your word ain't what it is. And one of my favorite stories, it tickles me because I didn't know how slick folk were. There's a lady of the Caucasian persuasion. Came to Deliverance Temple, came down the aisle and gave her heart to the Lord. Got saved. Boy, we was excited. Saved. She's a first time visitor and got saved. And so we gave her the mic and asked her, anything you have to say? She's like, I'm so glad y'all prayed for me. And the only thing, I'm moving next weekend. And if there's any men can help me, I would appreciate it. Oh, so we rallied the men to help her. That's the last time we seen that woman. I ain't seen that woman since. She didn't move out of the country. She moved 20 blocks away from where she was, and we didn't see her again. But here's the thing. People know the church is a place where I can get over on folk. But I'm learning to use some more discernment than that because I want to help those who are loyal to me, and I want to be loyal to the right people because there's royalty connected to loyalty. So let's read. Let's read Ruth 4:18.
The genealogy of David, this then is the family of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron.
So I'm just going to kind of sum it up real quick, that you find out that Ruth ended up marrying into the line that was going to produce David, which is the line that also produces Jesus. Ruth 4:21.
Salmon, the father of Boaz, Ruth, Boaz, the father of Obed.
Verse 22.
Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David.
All right. So we're going to go on from that. We're going to read 1 Peter 2:9. I got more than I thought I have still left to go. So I'm going to kind of speed it up a little. 1 Peter 2:9.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous
life. So there's
a
connection between loyalty and royalty. We see that with the story of Ruth. And then in Peter, we are called royal priesthood. So if we're called royal, we need to be loyal as well. Now let's put this up. We talked about this in the other sermon. Excellence is a choice. So excellence is a choice and loyalty is a choice. So we're going to say this and we add the two together. Don't expect loyalty where there is no excellence. So, or go back to the business example again. If you are a business and you are starting business and you want people to be loyal to your business, you have to have excellence. You have to have what you say you have, and you have to be okay with constructive criticism. In other words, when you gave me the mashed potatoes and gravy, it was too soupy, and you asked me how I like it, and I said I didn't like it. You can't dog me out. If you want my money, you got to listen to what I say. And the problem with a lot of people, especially black folks starting business, you think automatically you're supposed to get the black dollar, and you should get it, but there ought to be some excellence in the way you do stuff. You can't keep getting my dollar and wanting me to be loyal to you when you don't exhibit any excellence. And we covered that in the last sermon, so I don't have time. I don't have to go through too much of that. But let me put it, add this. One of the worst mistakes you can make is taking loyalty for granted. Let's switch about us being loyal, and let's switch to people being loyal to us. When people are loyal to you, you need to reward it. You need to treat them right. When people are good to you and loyal to you and they have done for you. And when you didn't have, they did for you. So when you get, don't forget the people that were there for you. When you didn't have a car, they could ride with you. But when you go get a car, you buy a two-seater. So only one person can ride with you, you and your boo. But all your life, people have been picking up you and your kids. And when you get blessed, don't forget the people who were loyal to you. One of the worst things you can do is trade in loyalty for disloyalty. When folk have been good to you, you don't treat them right. Jeremiah 31 and 3. Now we're going to kind of.
The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.
Jeremiah 31 is an important chapter because it is the chapter where it's prophesied that there's going to be a new covenant. You see that in 31. And so what happens is Jeremiah is talking about something that happens in Deuteronomy. And so we're going to go to see what he was talking about. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:39.
Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other.
Verse 40.
Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God. Live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time.
Now this is interesting. I haven't enough time to talk about it. So when you get to Deuteronomy, this is it's not long before Moses is getting ready to die. And what Moses is doing in Deuteronomy, he's telling them everything that they heard in Exodus. They heard it before and they just kept messing stuff up. And so Deuteronomy rehearses a whole bunch of that stuff and is coming back saying the same thing and saying, listen, I'm not going to stay around. You guys are going to go into a new land. And he kept having to tell them, keep his decrees. Keep his commands. Do this, do that. Don't take idols to yourself. They had to keep rehearsing the same thing because the children of Israel were just a disloyal people. No matter what God did for them and did to them and did through them, they always had to be reminded, be faithful to God. He's good to you. Be faithful to God. And Jeremiah is going back to what Moses said in Deuteronomy and said, at what point are you going to start being good to God for how good God has been to you? How long are you going to take his grace for granted? How long are you going to take his goodness like he's never done anything for you? How long are you going to keep walking past his decrees and never trying to be any better because, oh, I got the blood of Jesus. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. Stop taking God for granted. Be loyal to God. Talk to him. Spend time with him. I shouldn't have to tell you this. Jeremiah shouldn't have had to say it. Moses shouldn't have had to say it in Deuteronomy. But there's something about the disloyal nature of humans. We have to remind them, God's been good to you. He's brought you out of something. I know the first thing we hear when God's been good to us, we think about all the bad stuff we've been through. Well, he wasn't good in this and he wasn't good in that. But get out of paper one day and write down all the things he didn't do. And write down all the things he has done. And you'll find out God's been good to you. Because there's some stuff that he's done that you still don't know about. My friend, I just married him and his wife. And he was a little worried because he got a call that his wife had been in a bad accident. And she was at a stoplight and a truck rammed into her. Blessing was that particular day she drove his truck and not her normal car. Had she driven her normal car, she probably wouldn't be living. And so that's why it's important to have relationship with people on your job because the anointing in you can even protect them. But anyway, they said that what ended up happening is the truck driver dropped something and bent down to pick it up and didn't know that the light had changed and was stopped and it was too late and he ran right in the back of her. And when I thought about that, how many times have I done the same thing? But I looked up in the nick of time and was able to put my brakes. It's not because I'm a good driver. God's been good to me. How many times you've been on your phone while you're driving and you know you shouldn't, but somehow you still make it out because God's been good to you. They told me you're not supposed to mix ammonia and bleach when you clean it. That when I found out, I had already done it, but God has been good to me. Danger seen and unseen. He's done stuff before I asked it. He's already made it happen. He deserves my loyalty. He's been too good for me to act a fool. He's been too good to me not to give him praise. He's been too good to me to skip church and not put money in the offering. He's been too good to me. He deserves my loyalty. And Paul said it in Romans. He said, it's nothing but your reasonable service. Whatever you've done for God, it's your reasonable service. When I said that you don't want preaching and the call of God, even everything I've been through, it's just my reasonable service. Because when God said, you're going to preach my word, I was coming from a tequila binge hangover, laying on the ground, a bunch of wine coolers and tequila bottles, and God said, you're going to preach my word. I don't deserve to have the mic in my hand. Whatever I got to go through is worth it because God has been good to me. I shouldn't be saved. I should be dead, sleeping in a devil's grave. I should have lost my mind. I should have been hooked on crack cocaine, but God has been good to me. He's a deliverer. He's a mind regulator. He picked me up. He turned me around. He set my feet on solid ground. He deserves the best that I have. And don't you forget it. He's been good to you too. You should have had HIV. You should have had cancer. You should be in the crazy house. But God has been on your side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Put this up. And loyalty to God has results. You need to be loyal to him because he was loyal to you. The Bible says he committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And the Bible is so crazy to say, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, he saw joy in the cross because he saw you and I. And he loved us so much, he said that the whips are worth it. The stabs are worth it. The beats are worth it. Not only that, the insults that they hurled at him. And there's one scripture that talks about his visage being changed. And when you study that, means that he was beat to being unrecognizable. You couldn't have recognized his face. He was beat so bad. But he went to the cross and saw joy. Because he saw you and you. And you. So God, you deserve my loyalty. If I never get another blessing, I can thank you for what you've done on Calvary. You've already done enough. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And God, I thank you. But he's so good. He says that when you diligently seek him, he will reward you. He's rewarded us enough. But he'll reward us some more. So loyalty to him has results. Let's read a few more scriptures and then we're going to get out here. Psalms 91 and 14 says what?
Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name.
I love this scripture. It didn't say because he sits his love upon me. Because anything you sit, you can remove. But it says because he has set. And when you think about concrete, when concrete is in its liquid form, you can do whatever you want in it. But once it gets set, and what God says, all I want is somebody to set their love on me and say, I'm going with God all the way. Come hell or high water, I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not backsliding. I'm not giving up. I want to go with God. And because you make that loyal choice, he said, I will deliver him. All right. Verse 15.
He shall call upon me and I will answer him.
I will answer him. Not maybe, I will answer him when he calls on him. Go read.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
I will deliver him and honor him. So this is what it says. When you go through trouble that should take you out, he'll bring you on the other side looking better than you did when you went through the trouble. He'll honor you. You'll go through the divorce and still have your mind because you got your love set on him. All right. Let's put this up. Are you ready to declare your loyalty to your God?
Put this up as well. Read this.
He who declares his loyalty to God must bury his own will in the will of God. So it's one thing to declare it, but your will has to die into his will. There's some stuff you will not get in this life. There's some stuff you will not have in this life. You will not have some things, and you got to be okay with it. Devin, as much as she might want to have me and six other men, she can't have that and be in the will of God. She's going to have to love the one she with. She's going to have to be happy about the one she got. Now, she could do that, but she won't be in his will. And she won't be loyal to God. It's not that God won't save and deliver her from what she did, but it's not an act of loyalty. Because if you're going to be loyal to God, you got to bury your will in his. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
And when you say nevertheless, it means you'll never be the less by putting your will in his will.
The safest place is in the will of God. That means you won't go through danger in hell, but the safest place is in his will. God, I'm loyal to you, and I'm going to bury my will in you. I know we don't like this preacher, but I take up my cross and I follow you, God. Because you're more important than my desires. You're more important than my hopes and my dreams. Everything has got to be you. In him do I live. In him do I move. In him do I have my being.
And if we can get back to some stuff like that, we're going to see real revival in the house of God. Let's read to you like this, Colossians 3:1.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Read the next two verses.
Set your affection on things above.
Did it say sit your affection?
Set.
Set your affection. And this is interesting. The King James does not put the S on affections, plural. It says affection. So all of your affections, everything that works in you, can be summed up in one major thing. And you got to take that major thing and put it on God. In other words, all your affections can be summed up as your will. As we call it the human will, the stubborn will, the will, what I want, what I want. All of that, you set it on God, on things above. Read.
Not on things on the earth.
Why?
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
You are not your own. The scripture says you are bought with a price. So it's not about what you want. It's about, God, I'm giving you loyalty. Because you saved me and loved me when I was unlovable. So I'm going to give you my life. Yes. Let's stand to our feet. The lowdown on loyalty. I'm not finished. I'm going to finish it this way. We're going to say a prayer.